be speaking to you this morning out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. We'll be reading from verse 21 through verse 28 of this particular chapter. And in our text today, it speaks of the Canaanitish woman and the need in her life. If we were to look at the whole picture, we would find out that she was a Syrophoenician by birth. And I want to speak to you this morning on the Gentile woman's daughter being healed. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. I trust that you'll meet the need in the hearts and lives of the folks. And Lord, that Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. For we pray in that glorious name. Amen. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And there's a very interesting story that unfolds for us in this particular text that we have read here this morning. Just by way of introduction, Jesus went into or along the coastline of Tyre and Sidon. Sidon was the older city, but Tyre was built, which the folks felt like was the invincible city, that it could not be taken. But there is not a city that will not fall when our Lord Jesus Christ comes by. This woman very well may have been a transplant and a Greek by birth. But there's something about the area where she comes from that I want to just introduce to you, that it was a place of religion and real gross idolatry. And this is just free part of the introduction, that the truth of the matter is that religion will do in some cases, but when the need is great and absolute, as this particular case was, Religion's just not adequate. It takes more than that. It takes a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as is the case, there's a lot of superstition that's involved in religion. I remember the story of Paul going to Athens. He was invited to go up on Mars Hill and to, as they called it, present this new doctrine that he was advocating on the streets and in the marketplaces. He begins that message with the thought of the very fact that the people in their religion were too superstitious. Too superstitious. Well, whenever we understand the basis and founding of religion, apart from Jesus Christ, is always superstitious and superstition. Many gods and goddesses would have been along the streets of both of these cities. And she could have gone to those temple sites and called upon the name of that god and nothing would have occurred. Because that god is nothing. But when she comes to Jesus Christ, things begin to change for her. And there was a great need in her life. Now, it involved her daughter. Anytime a child is involved, it does affect us. Whenever our youngest son was a whole lot younger, he left home, ran away from home, and there's about 2 days, maybe three, that I'd have really worked him over. But by about the third day, I began to worry about him. And I had a concern for him. My main concern was that he'd be stealing from folks to eat. I didn't care for him getting hungry, but I didn't want him stealing. He finally told the truth the other day. I think it was a jar of mayonnaise he went in and picked up out of a store. If he ever gets that way, I hope he'll make that right. But there's not any question about the concern of this mother for her daughter. That just goes with the situation. And so we have then before us this morning a tremendously important message that comes to us. My message may not be just totally systematic this morning. I'll have more than the 3 points. And a dog story. We'll just have points till we're done. But I do want to challenge you just with some thoughts that we'll pick from this particular passage. First of all, the woman cries out to Jesus Christ. But keep in mind that she had come out of the Gentile world and her cry was unto him and she addressed him as the son of David. I don't want to sound harsh nor hard, but the covenant promises do belong to Israel. Thank God that middle wall of partition has been broken down. And in the day in which we live, there's not a place that it is inappropriate to preach the gospel. I'm grateful for the fact that I've been privileged to preach in a number of countries. I never traveled much except to carry the gospel. I always like to go somewhere with a purpose. And I can't think of a better purpose than to preach. But really, the Gentiles had no covenant promise at this time. The address to the Son of David would not have meant nearly as much as it does today. Now, there's a story of Abraham back in the book of Genesis. He already had a son, but God spoke of a son of promise through whom the promise would be carried. And that would be Isaac. It would come at a time whenever Sarah could not really physically bear a son, yet because of the promise that was made. So the woman did cry to the right person, but she had some misgivings about it. Then she makes a second cry. And she asked, "Lord, help me." And in the cry that she makes, she presents her dilemma. I found that it's best to know what we're asking when we go to the Lord. That we go with a purpose in mind, with an intent. To do something for somebody or ask for something to be done for someone. There was a daughter that was vexed or literally troubled and to the point of demon control. This takes then this woman out of the realm of the help of the false gods that are in the land that she came from. Demons certainly are involved. And I'm going to just throw this in. Demons are involved in false religion. They always are. To misguide, mislead. And take away from that person. There's a demoniac in the Bible. And if there was ever a pitiful character, it's him. A man that had long since abandoned society. Had ceased to live in a house and lived among the tombs. Ran naked, and by the way, nakedness is at least a part of and an evidence of demon work in life. I'll give you that. Don't charge you a dime for that information. So it's important what we do. But demons are involved in false religion because false religion will do absolutely nothing for you. Whenever the times really get hard, as they did in this case. She asked for help, and Jesus didn't answer. Now that is probably one of the major insults, is to just not be answered. The story is told, and I've told it before, and you'll forgive me, but it does fit well. One of my college professors, Bible college professors, was talking one day about taking and, of course, applying, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And he said, you know, my wife and I never did do that, but we spent a lot of sleepless nights. Jesus didn't answer, so she could have felt insulted. But real faith pursues and persists. The disciples, even to the point, said, she's really a trouble to us. Let's just get rid of her. And sometimes we feel the same way, but we ought not, because every soul is important in the sight of God. It's important that they hear the truth and ultimately be set free with the truth. But the disciples wanted to send her away. The Lord then speaks of his initial or first responsibility. He said, I'm not sent but first of all to Israel. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Thank God, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he did come to his own. He'd come to that nation. The Word was made flesh to dwell among us, and in particular to Israel. But he did come for lost sheep, even though at this particular point it was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we'll see where the Gentiles get a break and come in just a moment. But Jesus speaks to this woman of her first responsibility. What she was saying to her, I have a need, and I'm meeting a need, and that is to do something for the lost sheep of Israel. I've come for that particular purpose. And then the Bible says she came and worshiped him. In that cry from a desperate heart, she said, Lord, help me. The Lord said it's not right to abandon Israel. He said it's not right to take food from the children's table and give it to dogs. I'll deal with the woman's agreement with the Lord in a moment. But the Lord, so that she would get the picture, that it's not right to take from the table to give to dogs. Well, I've always been of the persuasion, and probably because I was raised that way, that dogs have their place, and usually it's out in the yard. Now, ours do better than I do most of the time in the house, but that's another story and a different message that I'll preach this morning. Lord, help me. He said, it's not right to abandon Israel. And the woman agrees with him. Let me give you just a few points. And the best thing to do, whatever the Lord says about you, just agree with it. He first of all said it was the children's bread. And she said, that's the truth, the Lord. But then she said, the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall to the floor. Oh, it's been years ago now that I preached on the crumbs that fall from the children's table. When you begin to look into the story, you might be surprised at the things that come to the Gentile world just because they fall off of the table of Israel. Children's bread. You know, we get to partake of it. Just in a casual way, I suppose we'd have to say. But she understands because the Lord said it, you're still a dog or you're a Gentile. We agree with that. Now, fortunately, we do have some folks that are working with the Israelites after the flesh. These distant kin to Abraham. And I hope that all of the churches that have been established in Israel produce. We've supported one missionary for years. And really, we're not allowed to call him a missionary. He just is a traveler in the land. But when you travel in the land, you can talk to folks. We've got another that makes particular trips into the land of Israel. And he's very capable, very personable. He meets the folks and he's personable, but he's also bold enough to do something for them. And he'll have folks that will honestly out of Israel call him once a week or so just to speak with him. But this woman is still a dog, and she agrees with that. But again, the dogs get to eat the crumbs. Thank God for his crumbs today. The last point I want to make this morning is that the Lord compliments her faith. He turns to his disciples, no doubt, and said, I've not found this kind of faith. Not in Israel. Now, the Bible tells us that the Lord said her faith was great. Verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Well, the truth of the matter is, if we're really going to be saved, we're going to have enough faith to embrace Jesus Christ, at least. The Lord said she's great, and then Jesus responds to her faith. Now, some of us did not believe the first time we heard the message. Or the second time, and we could name time after time after time. But thank God down the line somewhere, the Holy Spirit of God opened our hearts and our minds to the truth of the gospel. We were able to believe, be saved. One of our men will sing the song, and ladies could do as well. I can tell you now the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His amazing grace. I've often said, if they haven't changed the church, I can take you to the place where I fell on my face and called on God. I could show you the front door and the yard where I stepped out, and it was the same old eyes, but it was a new person seeing through those eyes. Jesus responded to her faith, and her daughter was made whole. So she accomplished what she went to Jesus Christ for. I want to draw a 4-point conclusion this morning in this message. Come to the right source, Jesus Christ. She cried out to the right one, Jesus Christ. She agreed with the right one, Jesus Christ. She put her faith in the right one, Jesus Christ. I hope you get the picture this morning. Jesus Christ can do something for you when nobody else can, and nothing else will work. No other God will be adequate at this time, but Jesus Christ is the source of our strength and the one who can meet the need of our hearts and lives. Let's stand together. Musicians, if you'll come and prepare the invitation, I'll pray with the rest. Father, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's precious to be able to preach to the folks this morning. And I pray that you'll take this portion that we call the invitation and magnify that name that is above every name. Deal in hearts and lives and bring forth to life those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. We'll thank you for it, for we pray again in that name, glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.